Welcome to the Washing Machine Podcast. The website has become the website of the month in Cycling Plus this month. Thank you very much, Cycling Plus. A lot of trivial nonsense. This is cycling on the outer edge. We're on the island of Islay at the moment in Bumore, just up the road from the distillery, just back from a cycle from here to Portaskig and back, which is the best way of starting off doing podcasts. Get the bike ride in first. Starting really with some of the stuff that we've dealt with on the website, Rafa clothing. You can get that at www.rafa.cc. Today's cycle, we had on the cap, the club cap with a pink stripe down the middle and Rafa written in the flap when it's up. Pretty standard as far as caps are concerned. Jersey that was on was the sport jersey with Mortarolo in the front, because I happen to be a Pantani fan. That comes in pink, as in leader of the Giro d'Italia. Mortarolo front and back in the felt. It's got four pockets in the back, very smart pocket for putting the pump into, nice wee narrow one, and also a zipper pocket which is waterproof for keeping the money in so that we can get the coffee and the carrot cake at the Croft Kitchen. Bram de Groot socks, at least that's what I've been calling them, black Rafa Merino socks, which are undoubtedly the best Merino socks, or the best cycling socks on the planet. And over the top, in order to keep warm, the rather excruciatingly expensive Rafa Merino training top, which is a three-quarter zip. It's made in two-ply Merino wool by Hoek Knitwear. The one I've got is black, with a white detail, like a white stripe round the collar, white stripe round the cuffs, also at the bottom, and one white stripe on, I think it's the left sleeve. Remarkably warm and fairly windproof, at least it was after it got started. A bit cool from here to Bridgend, which is, what, 2.5 miles away? But very comfortable, and it doesn't make you look like an advertising hoarding. Being a peddler of Colnago bicycles, I have a Landbau Credit Colnago top, which is makes you feel quite literally like an advertising hoarding, because there's so many different sponsors all over it. After a while, you maybe get a bit fed up looking like that. Retro stuff seems to be in at the moment. I don't think you would say Rafa were leaping on the bandwagon, since they've been going now for about a year, year and a half, and started with this sort of stuff. But of late, I noticed Nike, Endura, various other ones, Continental. I think there's a competition in the Comic this week. Is it the Comic or in Cycle Sport this month, where you can win a Continental top, which is done a la old style. Sport wool, usually Merino wool mixed with polyester. The problem I've had with the Rafa Merino top, it relates mostly to do with the way you clean it. Normally with cycle stuff, you just take it off, chuck it in the machine, then put it in the, sometimes put it in the tumble dryer, depends what it is. Certainly spin the stuff, hang it out, ready to wear probably the next day. The Merino top, however, has to be hand washed at 30 degrees C, wrung out, and then dried flat. And this is where the problem's occurring, because of the white stripes on it, and I presume the same happens with the green one. On mine, the black dye is migrating into the white, so we've now got a kind of mid-grey before you get to the white, which, considering the price of it, I mean, one of these is £150. I don't know what that would be in the States. You don't really want that kind of happening. I'm debating about whether there's another way to dry it. I should probably contact Rafa and ask them if there's another way to dry it, but that's what's happened so far. £150, you don't expect that to happen. That said, very comfortable top. Cycling top's the same. The socks are great. Haven't tried the shorts, because I'm not... I've never tried bib shorts. The only ones I've got are the ones that held up round your waist. It's good stuff. You can order it online. I think Condor Cycles in London also sell it. There's probably one or two other places you can get it, but predominantly you get it directly through their website. And while you're there, if you haven't already bought one, get a copy of Rule Air magazine. They've only produced one issue of it so far. I think there was supposed to be two per year. I keep asking when the second one's coming, and nobody's answered me so far. A very nice magazine. Good stuff. Articles, an interview with Magnus Backstead, an article by Matt Seaton, And while we're on Matt Seaton, he now writes, or has written since the Guardian or the Cardigan switched over to its new Berliner format. There used to be always four wheels, which was like car reviews, which I used to read quite often. I don't particularly care for cars, but the car reviews were quite funny. They started a two wheels column, which quite literally is that one column. The car articles get about a page and a two thirds. Poor old Matt only gets a column. And he has had the occasional other article, but he gets the column called Two Wheels, which is fairly good. Nice to see cycle stuff in any of the papers for that matter, but since it's not really related to sport as such, partly about couriers, partly about cycling here, the cycling and traffic this week, which is not something we're as much of a problem over here. Lovely day today, by the way. You can actually read it on the Guardian's website. So if you're not in a position to buy, if you don't buy the Guardian for starters, if you're in one of the countries where you can't get the Guardian, then if you look up their website, I think it's under guardianunlimited.co.uk. That's all one word, guardianunlimited.co.uk. Go into that, type in Matt Seaton, and you'll be able to, on a Wednesday, you'll be able to read his weekly column. And now for the frightening stuff. I've written letters, or emails rather, quite frequently over the summer, and probably before the summer, to Richard Garbutt, who's the editor of Cycling Weekly. I know they've never printed any of them, and I didn't really intend them to do that anyway. What's always bothered me has been the amount of coverage that Lance Armstrong gets. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, Matt Seaton had a page article in The Guardian to do with George Bush and the fact that he's a fairly keen cyclist. He'd taken a mountain bike with him when he went on his trip to China, went cycling with the Chinese national mountain bike team or something, was wearing a polar heart rate monitor, which means he must have thought about it, as Matt pointed out beforehand. And I emailed Matt afterwards and said, hey, great article, and it was nice to see that you never mentioned Lance once. Robert Garbutt? Can't remember now. Anyway, the amount of interviews and articles they've had, a whole issue devoted to Lance Armstrong. Now, nothing against Lance Armstrong. I happen to think he's a particularly excellent cyclist. I don't know that anyone would necessarily disagree with that. But there's lots of other excellent cyclists. But all we ever seem to get is Lance all the time. Permanent interviews, permanent articles on what's Lance's view in this and what's Lance's view in that. And then when he retires, they go and talk to him about the L'Equipe affair where they accused him of taking drugs. Well, it's unfortunate for Lance, but there's plenty of other guys out there. I really don't want to be reading about Lance all the time, and I tend to think that I'm not the only one that doesn't want to read about Lance all the time. And I opened the comic this week, and in the inside cover, there's something like 14 discs devoted to Lance's Tour de France victories from 1999 to 2005. To me, that sounds like absolute purgatory to have to watch that. I mean, he's just finished this year and won the 7. I mean, great. You can't knock the guy for that. And then you notice in Bromley Video, they've only just brought out a DVD devoted to the life of Pantani, who died over a year ago, who won the double in 1998, the Giro and the Tour de France. Now they bring out a DVD, and it's actually out after they've brought out the ones about Lance. Fair enough, certain degree of bias, because I did like the pirate style better than I like Lance's dominating style. But somehow the prospect of having to sit and watch something like 14 DVDs of Lance, no doubt there are plenty of people that are going to lap it up. I'm certainly not going to be one of them. While we're on Cycling Weekly, for those of you who are not in a position to get Cycling Weekly, or don't get Cycling Weekly, if you're into this kind of stuff, if you go onto their website, they have a shop, and I'm reliably informed, or reliably assured by one of the gentlemen I emailed earlier this week, there's a book out by Johnny Helms, who's been doing cartoons for the comic, according to them, about 60 years, which would make him the longest serving contributor. usually does about one every week. Some of them are really funny. Excellent observations on stuff like club cycling, etc. I think probably the one that springs to mind most recently is the wife standing at the door talking to the neighbour while hubby is on a turbo trainer where the front wheel's up on the table, so the turbo trainer's sitting at a slope, and his wife's telling the neighbour that he needs to practice because he feels he's losing out in the hills. There's a book out, I think it's $7.95 plus postage and packing. Presumably they send worldwide, so if you really quite fancy having a look at this or find out what the Brits think of club cycling, if you go on to Cycling Weekly, it's all one word, cyclingweekly.co.uk, and go to the shop. Now, I couldn't find it the other day because I wanted to order a copy, and the gentleman from Cycling Weekly said that the reason it wasn't there was because it had sold out and they were getting more reprinted. According to him, should be available now. I haven't checked, I'm afraid. Check at the beginning of the week and see how we get on. I think that's probably about everything we're going to cover for this week. I'm going to try and do a podcast. Well, I've actually said that I would do the Washing Machine Post website every 2 weeks. It's every 2 weeks-ish. I think possibly the same would maybe go for the podcast, if it's at all possible. The other thing we're looking at the moment is the video podcasts, which seems like quite a reasonable idea. The video cameras at the ready. Could probably do with a tripod to put the darn thing on, but then when it comes down to the arcane and long-winded stuff about how to change brake cables, how to fix bottom brackets, and just while the bottom bracket bit comes up, I notice in Cycling Plus, I think it is, where they have the review of Gear of the Year, and they give awards to, you know, best chain set, best gear mech, best bike, best everything really, they feel that Campagnolo have lagged behind in this because they still use the old square taper bottom bracket and crank where it fits on and then there's a bolt holds the thing in place, while Shimano have gone for the outboard bearings. It looks kind of ugly to me, but I dare say there's some point to it. But the bit that I don't understand is we've all been cycling on the square taper stuff, the bottom bracket inside the shell, either loose bearings, which I'm vastly preferred to the cartridge ones, although you can't really get much else at the moment. We've cycled these for years and we've all done fine, and so have the top guys have all done fine as well. And suddenly Shimano decide that they can't get enough bearings, they can't get big enough bearings, so let's stick the bearings outboard of the bottom bracket shell and then clamp the cranks onto that. It may well be a great innovation, but I can't say personally I've ever had much hassle with the Campag one. I can see that you're always going to have research and development, they're always going to bring stuff on, they're always going to want to sell new stuff, and it seems rather ironic that while they're trying to shift the bearings outboard in the bottom bracket, they're meanwhile shifting them inboard on the headset. Very glad to note that Colnago have ignored that completely. There's a very good PDF for download off Chris King's website, I think it's chrisking.com. That explains why integral headsets, or hidden sets as Campag would call them, why they're not such a great idea relative to the other ones. But it does seem rather strange that they're shifting the bearings outboard in the bottom bracket and shifting them inboard and the headsets. I don't see what's wrong with the way that Campag do it at the moment. There's the Isis drive, which one or two others do, so we've actually got three. We've got the square taper that Campag do, we've got the splined version that Shimano do, and we've got the Isis splines, which are not the same as the Shimano splines, so therefore some manufacturers, assuming they can bother doing it, are actually manufacturing three different versions of the same crank, one to fit the Isis, one to fit Shimano, and one to fit Campagnolo. This has been the problem with the bike industry all along, is that there's never really any standardisation. I think possibly now that Shimano and Campag are on 10-speed, we might get a wee bit of correlation between the wheels. Because I noticed likes of Hope technology make a very nice rear hub, but the free hub's only Shimano compatible. They don't make a Campag one. So the only option then is to have something like a Marchesio set of sprockets made up to, that are Campag pattern but fit a Shimano free hub. I dare say we'll go into this a bit more in future stuff. I've probably wandered on often enough just now. We'll be going out for our bike ride tomorrow morning. Anybody's ever on the island of Islay at a weekend, you probably get us round about Bruichladdy Distillery round about 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. This has been getting better and better. We started off with just two folk, myself and my director sportif Dave from Port Weems, out for a cycle every Sunday morning, and last week we had five of us. A vast increase in numbers for somewhere like round here. If you're ever over, watch out for us. We're quite happy for anyone to join in. We don't go particularly fast, especially if the wind's the way that it sometimes is over here. So if you're over, feel free to join in. If you don't want me to do any more podcasts, then email brian@thewashingmachinepost.net. Or if you do want me to do some more, then fine, also send emails towards that, and I'll try and answer them all. Thanks very much for listening, and I look forward to doing the next one. Bye for now.